This is Alex Elbrum. Cambridge 105
Radio. Local historian Anthony Carpen is back today. And today we're delving into some local history about a centre in the middle of town that not many people have heard of. Good morning to you, Anthony.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Exhausted as always, but can't complain too much.
Oh, good. Good. Well, you know, not good about the exhaustion, but good that you're generally okay. And we're very glad to have you back today. Now, what are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about something I discovered probably only a few days ago. And it's the result of the British Newspaper Archive having digitised and uploaded over 10,000 pages of old newspapers from 1988, 1990 and 1987 as well.
Oh, okay. So quite recent in kind of history times, but actually it's now becoming actual history, if you see what I mean.
It is, and it's the phrase or the terminology historians often use is this is contemporary history.
Yeah, yeah.
So by that, my interpretation of that is it's where you have things in the fairly recent past that you can still really feel the impact and effects of today.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the 1980s, there were a series of decisions taken by both central government and local government that significantly shaped the future of further education and higher education in Cambridge. Yeah. And it was one of those institutions, the then Cambridge College for Arts and Technology, CCAT, otherwise known as today as Anglia Ruskin University, that was at the heart of it. And it was on that site, on the East Road campus site, effectively, that there was this place called the Andrew Murden Centre. And as I wrote it on my blog on the 13th of March, quote, I was today years old when I discovered Cambridge once had a centre for unemployed and unwaged people.
Yes, now, same here.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why it interests me, for a whole host of reasons, one of them is when I was living in Brighton when I was at university in the early 2000s, come across, but I'd never actually visited, the Brighton Unemployed People's Centre, which had been around for ages, and I'd always thought, well, why don't we have one? And it turns out...
We did.
Like, we did.
Oh.
And so I want to know what happened to it. And this is really where Cambridge 105 listeners can help, because at the moment I haven't been able to find out that much about it. Furthermore, I've no idea at the moment who Andrew Murden was, let alone why people decided to name the centre after him, and also why we lost it, because despite the headlines that we see about how wealthy Cambridge is, we know that we're a very polarised city. We are a very unequal city. And actually, we could do with a centre like the Andrew Murden Centre that we had up until the late 1980s.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that strange? I mean, I came to Cambridge late 1980s, so probably I think I came about 89, I think. So probably just after that then, I guess.
Yep.
So probably just missed it and therefore had no idea. But that isn't that odd?
Now, this really shows the importance of archives and digitising archives and enabling keyword searches. For this one, I think I just threw in the acronym CCAT just to see what would come back. And one of the articles that came back, which I've transcribed, was a letter by a Mr. Neil Kelman of York Street in Cambridge. And he was one of the service users of the centre at the time the centre was threatened with closure, which it ultimately did. And he wrote into the old Cambridge Town Crier. Now, some of your older listeners will remember...
I remember that now.
The Town Crier, the free paper.
Yes.
Which we no longer have. And he wrote, and it was printed on the 4th of July 1987, where he wrote to complain about the proposed closure of the centre. And he said that throughout the 1980s, he had experienced prolonged periods of unemployment and underemployment before centres opening and his experience was one of depression and desperation, boredom and frustration. Something that, you know, during my own periods of unemployment, something I, you know, I can relate to.
Yeah, yeah. So this wasn't like a job centre then? This was more of a place to go, maybe like a community centre?
It was far more than a job centre. And I think this is something that the politicians of today really need to learn from, about the impact, the positive impact that these centres provided for people. And Mr. Kelman says, quote, "The centre gave me somewhere to go and something to do, as well as providing me with information that government departments and the media distort or make inaccessible." So we're also, it reminds us that we're talking about a time that was also very politicised, because it was around the time of the 1987 general election.
They were trying to keep themselves good in the public eye, I guess.
Yep. And he further said, "The centre gave me back a feeling of usefulness and my self-confidence and liberated me from the unemployed mind syndrome. That is when thought processes have become dulled due to long periods of undisciplined mental activity."
Interesting.
And the final striking thing for me is a contemporary issue today, which is all about childcare.
Oh, right.
Because it had a free creche. And he said the creche facility at the centre is both useful and essential, as some of the courses that he had studied there would not have been possible had it not been for the creche facility. It is also, and he said it was the only facility for under 3-year-old children that was free, which meant that people in Cambridge on very low incomes could actually afford it. And he said the children love the centre and will suffer from its closure.
At least with the Short Start programme, which obviously now has gone again, that did make access to free childcare for so many hours a week, which was a good thing. And it's also interesting that it really would be good if we had more of these centres open now.
The one prominent feature, I think, that stands out around the time when you look at the other newspaper article is that the main college, CCAT, was at a turning point in its history, and it had the choice really of whether it was going to become a polytechnic university and then later on a full university as it is today, or whether it was going to become an adult's lifelong learning college.
Oh, okay.
And in the end, they went down the route that we're obviously familiar with today, but it also meant that we didn't get the facility that I think Cambridge desperately needs, which is that lifelong learning college that also provides all of the essential facilities that adults with a whole host of commitments, such as childcare, need. And I think if you had something like CCAT had, but on a larger scale that more people could get to through public transport, the impact would be huge. So, for example, you might have a college that also has on site an NHS dental surgery, a general practice doctor surgery, as well as that creche. It may also have facilities for sports and exercise, but ones that perhaps, you know, are not targeted at elite or high standard sports people, but are the ones that get people into just being active.
Yeah, I think that sounds brilliant. And I think anyone listening of the political persuasion, you should get this in your manifesto now, because this is what we all want and it'll be absolutely brilliant. And it's a shame to see, like you say, this is contemporary history, and because of those things, that just disappeared and we don't even know about it very much.
And again, anyone who is interested, again, do have a look at the British newspaper archive and just have a look and see what you can find from the more recent past. Because one of the other things we know, a separate article says, was that the centre actually produced a video titled Unsocial Security, which was an 11-minute film made by a gentleman called Bob Lilly of Ditton Fields. Now, in those days, making a film was much more difficult than it is today. Today you can just pick up a smartphone.
Of course, yeah.
Speak into it. But to make a film like that in those days would have involved physically cutting and pasting bits of film footage and sticking it together and then recording it onto a single video. It was much more time consuming than it is today.
we take that for granted now, don't we? How easy it is to sort of just record things and create things and use different apps to do this, that and the other. But my goodness, how different it was then. Thank you very much, that Anthony. Absolutely fascinating. I can remember those days, and that's now counting as contemporary history. But that's brilliant. Thank you very much. And we'll speak to you again next month.
Thank you. Cambridge 105 Radio.